Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Well, if you are a guest here, my name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row with me, and we have the privilege of serving this community. We welcome you here. Our desire is that we would encounter Jesus. We are so thankful that you're with us. And this morning, we do have a special treat for you. We have some dear, dear, dear friends from Chicago. Everyone say Chicago. Chicago. I'm glad that they didn't wear some of their sports paraphernalia. We appreciate your taste in coming to the beautiful city of St. Louis and not bringing some of the garb of Chicago. My wife and I had the pleasure of living in Chicago from 1998 to 2007. We had moved there to help a church, and over the last 25, 30 years, we have had the privilege of getting to know a couple, Jeff and Vicki Thomas. Can I have both of you stand up real quick? This is Jeff and Vicki. Okay, you can sit back down. And they also brought with them a friend of theirs, Michael. Could you stand up also? This is Michael. He is part of what the work there in downtown Chicago. He's from Atlanta, but he doesn't sound like it. But that's okay. And my relationship, our relationship with Vicki and Jeff started, probably 20, 25, maybe even 30 years ago. They were part of a church in downtown Chicago. Some of you were here 3 or 4 weeks ago with Dan Reynolds, who's British, and he pastors our sister church in St. Charles, Illinois, in Chicagoland. And I remember the first time we went downtown Chicago. Dan's British, you know, he stands out. And if you see Dan, you know what I mean when he stands out. And we went to this church in downtown Chicago. I'm from St. Louis. I'm St. Louis guy through and through. And I just remember the pastor of the church just said, when you park to come to the building, wait for us. Do not get out of your car. Just stay in your car and I'll escort you into the building. And immediately I was like, is there going to be a problem? Is there a problem? And my friend, Daniel, he had a fancy car. And it was about 20 young guys just kind of started forming around our car. And I was like, this is what the pastor was talking about. This is what the pastor was talking about. And it was a fabulous church, pure in heart, and the pastor was amazing. And through that relationship, we began a relationship with Jeff and Vicki, where we would see them at conferences, see them at different things. And Randy and I had the privilege and pleasure of going to Jeff and Vicki's house on multiple occasions. They would have people into their house, and they would begin worshiping and loving on God. And it was the gift of hospitality, and you just saw Jesus through this couple. And our relationship has continued to grow. Jeff and Vicki in the church plant and the outreach that they have in Chicago, they started it, 10, 12, 13 years ago. But to me, it's almost an extension of them. They have people in their house. They love people. I'm not going to tell all the stories about what they do and how they do. But this couple has an ability to love people that other people probably don't feel safe around. But because of the love of God inside of this couple, they just attract people who are hurting, who are wounded, and they share Jesus in a beautiful way. Jeff is, his gifting is a Bible teacher, but I just love the heart that they have for people. They love people amazing. They're both super evangelistic. They share their lives. They share their house and their time, and they are part of us. At Life Streams, and so when we were looking at bringing in people who represent Life Streams, which is the group of churches that we relate with directly, I thought we need to have this couple down here and bring the heart of Jesus. And my prayer is that what is in them is imparted to us, that it's just a love for people and laying down your life for people, that people feel safe with us. So I'm going to bring Jeff up now. The women had an opportunity to hear Vicki yesterday. She's an amazing woman of God. We thank you so much for what you imparted. I know lots of ladies were blessed. Jeff, could you come on up? I would like to pray for this man. Like I said, I've known him for 25, 30 years. There's an anointing on his life to reach people, to show Jesus. And he has an ability to unfold the scripture in a way that shows Jesus as he really is and when he walked the earth. So, Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for what you've placed on his heart, an understanding of the Word of God, an understanding of you, King Jesus. And this morning, Lord, as I already prayed earlier in the prayer meeting, Father, our hearts are open. I say about my soul, my soul is fertile soil this morning. I want to hear your word. I want to, as we look into the Bible, Father, I want to hear your word, mix it with faith that it would produce a harvest. I bless Jeff that he would, with all liberality, share what you placed on his heart for him, Lord. We want to see you more and more clearly, King Jesus. And we bless this man in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Jeff Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Tom. I tell you, I had a message, and I think I have a different one now.
Welcome to the party.
I think I've heard my message through the prayer meeting earlier this morning and through the worship, and I just kind of feel I want to almost elaborate on that. But the one thing that I really sense, and I may tear up a little bit, and I know some men sometimes have a problem with men being emotional, but I want you to know my favorite verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. So guys, it's okay. Tears are cleansing, and they're good. But I just walked into this building. I see some of you. I try to see all of you. And I have this overwhelming sense how much God loves you. And I don't know if we always get that. You know, who this lady right here, I don't know who you are. Yes, you. But this is what, this is Sandy. There's something really special about Sandy. When we come to the Lord many times because we're Americans and we're doers and we're performers, when we stand before the Lord, our heart goes out to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do this for you, and I need to do that for you, and I need to do this for you. And that's kind of like the Martha who's doing everything. But as we grow in the Spirit, we begin to realize that Jesus is amazingly more, exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can actually become. And a change happens in our heart. Instead of us, I'm going to go this for you, I'm going to do this for you, our hearts begins to open up. And we learn how to receive the healing of God and the love of God and the restoration of God. And I heard this lady, I heard her heart open. I heard her breath, just like, ah, Jesus. And that's precious to the Lord. That's precious to the Lord. Yes. The Lord, you are precious. Yes. Yes. To the Lord. And I don't know where she went. I don't know if she's still in the room, but the worship leader, she talked about, she was out with the youth, okay, so I'll talk about her behind her back. Don't tell nobody what I said. But you know, she talked about the alabaster bar and box, jar, that's it. I'm nervous. But I felt the Lord say to her, and you can maybe share this with her, but there's a lot more oil in her than she thinks. There's a lot more oil, and there's a lot more oil in all of us. You know, and I was thinking about the verse where it says, what is man or the son of man that you should take thought in us? You know, and David's being humbled by the majesty of God. He sees the stars, the moon, they all bear his name. And he's like, when I see all this wonder and creation, what is man? What is the son of man that you should take a thought and harden me? And here's the beautiful thing. It says that you crowned us with glory and with honor. You know, and so much religion is like degrading to humanity. But Jesus is all about exalting humanity and bringing us into his right hand, seating with him in heavenly places, beginning to see things. And I'm telling you, this is a time in history where we need to see Jesus. We can see so much unrest, so much division, so much this and that, but God. That's something Michael likes to say. We got this problem, we got that problem, but God. And the scripture exhorts us to see Jesus. I think you're a people who see Jesus. And I feel God wants to break barriers today and give you even a greater capacity for risk and for love and going beyond. One thing I know about Tom and Randy is they just love Jesus and they love people so well, right? You guys are very blessed to have pastors like that. And when you see a healthy church, we tend to see people who are just like, they love each other. They get together. They're happy. You don't see a lot of cliques. They're inclusive. And I see that here. But I believe that God wants us to export that into the world. You know, you hear a lot of things like, I saw the Lord say this. I saw the Lord do this. You know, these prophetic words. During worship, I saw children. And I saw young people. And I saw, you know, 20-somethings and 30-somethings saying, no one loves me. No one believes in me. No one's ever encouraged me. I have no hope. I don't want to live. It's so difficult. And I really believe with all my heart there's a mantle, there's an anointing, there's a calling on this body to start believing in people. Seeing the gold in people. Seeing what, you know, every human being, no matter what their issues are, they're made in the image and the likeness of God. Where's Rick? You stole my message, brother. But, you know, can we see Jesus in the least of these? In the homeless, in the dirty, in the depraved, in the foul-mouthed, in the angry? Or are we like, oh, they're scary. They're afraid. I better stay in my little hut and be safe. You see, in Matthew 25, I believe it is, when Jesus is talking about the judgment of the nations, he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison. Jesus was in prison and you visited me. And the righteous will say, well, when? See, that's the thing I love about the righteous. They don't even know the righteous. They're just loving on people. They're seeing a need and they're fulfilling it. And isn't that how Tom and Randy are? Then that means that's how you are. See, like calls out to like. And he says, as often as you've done to the least of these, and he calls them his brothers and his sisters, his family, you've done it unto me. And I've always got bored in church, I have to admit. But I always found excitement out into the world. And I don't mean worldly things. I mean people who are out in the world. You know, it's funny, you know, Jesus, he's walking down the street or down whatever he's walking down, and he sees a crowd, and he has compassion on them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. I have a sneaky feeling that when the Pharisees walked by, they didn't have compassion on them. And they didn't see sheep without a shepherd. They saw a motley crew. I'm not talking about the band. You know what I'm saying? And so they didn't have the compassion. They're like, oh, God, these people, let's get away from them. But Jesus was drawn towards people who were hurting, people who were confused, people who didn't have vision, people who didn't know who they were. And and the compassion of God flowed through him. Because what does the Bible say? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's trespasses against them. And he is entrusted to us. The word entrusted means that we have a choice to go for it or not go for it. It doesn't mean it's guaranteed. So we have to make a choice. Do we want to take what God entrusts to us? Or do you want to lay back and build our own kingdom? We hear a lot about thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? That's a big thing that we hear all the time. Well, Jesus gave us an insight when he was praying in the garden. He says, not my will, but yours be done. And when we pray for God's kingdom, our kingdom has to go so that his kingdom can come. I used to pray, God bless my kingdom, and I'll just call it yours. But it's really mine. You see what I'm saying? And so this whole thing about crowned with glory and honor, I just want to build on this. I won't be long today. But he's crowned humanity with glory and honor because he's created us in his own image and his own likeness, right? But that glory has been tainted. That honor has been abused, dishonored, damaged. And so I think we can accelerate if we have like a different perspective on something. Because what we do, you see in the book of Revelation where the elders, they cast their crowns before the Lord. That's our glory and that's our honor. But for a lot of us, if we're honest, does anybody here still have some issues they're dealing with? Because I have more than one. I have more than one. And I'm in a season where a lot of these things that I try to suppress or ignore or pretend they're not there, all of a sudden are going, bloop, bloop, bloop. And the Lord's like, hey, did you see that? No. No. I don't want to see that. Don't bring that up. And so when we cast our crowns before the Lord, we're casting broken crowns. We're casting wounded crowns. We're casting glory that we wouldn't consider glory. But it says that he's put all things under our feet, but right in the present moment, we don't see all things under our feet. But we see Jesus. This is a time where we need to see, more than anything, Jesus. Not a concept, but the person Jesus. Jesus. We see Jesus who's crowned with glory and with honor. And because he suffered death, he did it for all of us, he's bringing many sons into glory. So when I cast my crown before the Lord, he's sharing his crown, which is glory and honor. Does that make sense? So here's the beautiful thing. God created us and he chose us. The Bible says he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the earth. That means before anything was created, he had his name, your name, my name, in his heart, and he knew he was going to create us. That was before we ever sinned, before we ever said those bad words, before we ever cheated whenever we cheated, or lied when we lied, or stole what we stole, and took on all this guilt, and took on all this shame. And I know I'm talking to holy people here, so probably not as strong as you, but look outside the doors. You see, people don't need to know they're sinners. I think they know. I think we deal with mental health in this country in a pandemic kind of way. We are not equipped to deal with difficulties, or the younger generation. And Jesus knew this before he created us. You might be struggling with something you've been struggling with for 10 years. 20 years. He knew this before he created you. And it says he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth that we should be, you guys know the verse? Holy and blameless before him in his sight. So like, oh God, I can't look at you. I can't even pray. I'm so dirty. God says, I see you as holy. I see you as blameless. And if you'll repent, you know what the word repent means? We think, okay, I got to stop swearing and cheating and all the things I'm doing. Repent comes from two Greek words, metanoia. And metanoia is larger or beyond, And noia is mind. So what God is saying is, I want you to start seeing things the way I see things. And as you start seeing things the way I see things, you're going to see Jesus. You want to hear something awesome? When you and I see Jesus, we see ourselves. Because we're created in his image and in his likeness. So this is the difference between Old Testament worship and what we experience today. I'm going to turn to a scripture just because I have it semi-memorized, but not completely. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I love 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4. It talks about the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But the Old Covenant exposed this whole thing about, like, what I'm going to do for God. You know, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. And those are great things. Don't get me wrong. But there's an order to things. You know, if I have a button shirt, which I don't, but if I do the first button off, the whole shirt's going to be off. And so it's very important that we line the buttons up. Does that make sense? And so when we say what I'm going to do for God, you know, it's like the buttons are off. Because in reality, we're all dead. And our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ manifests on this planet, he'll do it through his body, which is you and me. And he'll reveal his glory. Remember, we're crowned with glory and honor. And Jesus wants to give you his glory and his honor because he tasted death for every one of us. It is finished. Isn't that cool? So it says in 2 Corinthians, before I get there, the Old Covenant is a ministration or a ministry of condemnation and death. It was there to show us that we fall short. We can't do it on our own. The New Covenant is a covenant of righteousness and life in the Spirit. And so it's imperative, if we really want to see Jesus, that we learn how to open our hearts to receive the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That's what Paul said. Paul said that God commanded light to shine out of darkness. The darkness was in his own heart. But he has shown in our hearts the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So there's been a let there be light in all of us. Does that make sense? When we try to do it in the old way, a veil comes over our heart and we can't really see Jesus because we're looking at ourselves. Like, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. The more we are self-centered, self-consumed, self-absorbed, the less we are Christ-centered, Christ-consumed, and Christ-motivated. But we need to see Jesus. Does that make sense? So it says in verse 16, it says, but when one turns to the Lord, and that's not just why I said a prayer in 1981. I got saved in 1981. We have to turn to the Lord every day. We make a choice. Do I turn to my own strength? Do I turn to my circumstances? Do I turn to my cash? Or do I turn to the Lord? And when we turn to the Lord, a miracle happens. And a veil is lifted up, and we begin to see the resurrected Christ. The light begins to shine in our hearts. And this is what new covenant worship is. You see, I worship you, you know, because you live. I worship you because you're holy. I worship you because you're glorious, right? Then we walk away like, oh, God's so wonderful, but I'm not. God's so holy, but not me. You see what I'm saying? But look what it says. This is the word of God. The veil is removed. Now where the Lord is, now the Lord is the Spirit. So this is the Spirit does something in our lives. The Spirit has like a job he does in our lives. And it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's freedom from ourselves. It's freedom from our limited perspective. It's limited from being self-centered, self-consumed, self-absorbed. Because now we're seeing the one who is free, the one who set us free, the one who's conquered death. And death isn't like one day I'm going to die and I'll resurrect. The death that he conquered is our depression and our insecurities and our fears and our anxieties, we got to realize those are all things rooted in death. And he wants to set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom from those things. Does that make sense? And it says, verse 18, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, because what Rick said, we see in part, we prophesy in part, but we are fully known. And one day we will know even as we are fully known. And what increases in our life is what Tom said earlier, a revelation that God loves us. God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is committed to our healing, to our transformation, to us becoming like him. And it says, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So new covenant worship is not like you're wonderful and I'm not. You're in heaven and here I'm on earth. You're glorious and I'm just a turd. Right? God says, yes, I am glorious. And guess what, son and daughter? So are you. You're loving. He goes, yes, I am, son and daughter. And now let me impart my glory and my honor to you. And so are you. So when we worship the Lord, it isn't just like those three songs and a couple announcements and let's move on. It's a time of transformation. I couldn't stop crying. I just couldn't stop crying because I just overwhelmingly felt the love that God has for you guys, for all of us. And you know that verse, I don't know where it's at, it's in the Psalms somewhere. But it says, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Little spoiler alert, New Covenant, we don't go to the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord. All the days of our life, we are the house of the Lord, that I might behold, do you know the next part of it? Huh? His beauty. It doesn't say that I may work out my to-do list. I might get all the commandments down. It's to look at the beauty of the Lord. And you, I want to suggest this morning that the beauty of the Lord is how much he sees us as special, the apple of his eye, made in his image and likeness. And there is no condemnation because that was taken care of on the cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us. And he's entrusted that same ministry to us. And so when I look at a person who's dirty, I look at a person who's swearing, I look at a person who is just angry and mean, I love those people. Because those people are made in God's image and likeness. And they're trying to protect themselves from a world that has beat the living snot out of them. I was gonna say hell, but in reality, we're supposed to love the hell out of them so we can get heaven into them. But do you understand what I'm saying? And I don't think it's a special gift that we love people that are unlovable. I think those are who God died for. And I don't know what your background is, but I would just venture to think there's at least one person in this room that I'm talking about them before they got to know Jesus. And I think there's people maybe even struggling in this room that feel like they're unworthy and they don't deserve God's love. And, you know, we got to remember this, that God loves us and loved us and continues to love us in our unworthiness. We don't have to get to a level of worthiness for him to love us. God commended his love toward us. He initiated his love towards us. He manifested his love toward us. He focused his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't get value and worth by our sanctification or by our faith or by our love for Jesus. We get value and worth because we're created in his image and his likeness. Our value and our worth is inherent through creation. And I feel we got to impart to humanity not their unworthiness, not their rebellion, not their sin, but their worthiness, their value, their worth. For God so loved not the church, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So let me go, I'm running out of time, but let me go to Colossians. I want to show you this. This goes along with, sorry, Lord. But it says in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 21, and he's talking to the church. He says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies are hostile in your minds because of your wicked works, he has now reconciled you through the blood of his cross, through his body, to present you," listen to this, "to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight." When we worship him, we may not see it, but Jesus is presenting us to the Father. And he's saying, "You're holy." And if we have ears to hear and eyes to see, and if our spirits are open, we'll begin to see a transformation and an operation in the spirit where all of a sudden I'm feeling holy. I'm feeling forgiven, so therefore I'm blameless. I'm feeling like he remembers my sins no more, so that I'm irreproachable. There's no reproach. My shame is being healed. My rejection issues are being healed. I'm feeling for the first time in my life that I am loved. That's hard to believe for somebody. It was hard to believe for me being a Christian for 20 years. I felt I owed God my life because he did something for me, but he really wasn't. It's like, "Oh, you again? Oh, you believe in Jesus? Okay, I guess." And I felt like I owed him something. And I didn't start changing until I realized that what he's done for me. And you know, the Hebrew thought, we think of truth as like a concept that can be defined. That's how the Western mind thinks. The Eastern mind sees truth as something that's experienced. So it isn't real until you actually experience it. And so, in a sense, you can get born again every day. You can get saved every day. Because there's things that you still need to be saved from. Like your fears and your doubts and your insecurities and your lack of self-esteem or whatever it is. And this isn't New Age. This isn't like, oh, you know, this is God. This is the Bible. This is Orthodox Christianity. But he's presenting us to himself, holy, irreproachable, and blameless. So when I worship, I'm not like, "Oh, let me get through the songs." I'm opening my heart and I'm breaking open the alabaster box. I'm casting my crown of glory and honor, which is damaged, to Jesus, to the one who suffered death on my behalf, who's crowned with the glory and the honor that is irreproachable and blameless. Because it's not about church attendance. We should be here, but it's about union with Jesus. "Abide in me as I abide in you. And those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because I am the source of your holiness. I am the source of your blamelessness." Does that make sense? So I want to end with one more thing. I got 2 minutes. And I want to just challenge you with one more thing. No, it's okay. I'm hungry. I want to go to lunch. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't. So Jesus says this, and here's a point I want to make really quick. Jesus broke these barriers that we're talking about because Israel had this idea of like, it's our tribe. And God is for our tribe, but not for the other tribes. And they struggled when Jesus started opening up grace to Roman soldiers and people who were unclean and people who were sinners. And he ate with these people. Like, what's wrong with this guy? You know, if he was such a holy man, he would know what kind of woman this is. You know, and he mentioned, you know, when you're forgiven much, you love much. If you don't love much, it's because you haven't been forgiven much. And I want to propose this, that we've been forgiven a lot more than we think. But when we're always pushing out, we never have time to realize that God has forgiven much. And so we don't behold the glory of the Lord. We look at our performance and we miss the beauty of God's forgiveness because we're too busy trying to do things for God instead of opening up our hearts and realizing, wow, I've been forgiven. I've been accepted. Does that make sense? So then Jesus says this in verse 31, if I can find it. He says, do to others as you'd have them do to you. So when you see the person on the street, when you see the neighbor, the relative, whoever it is that you're like, oh God, I can't stand this person. I'm going to pray today that you see, you have new eyes to see them. Vicky has to pray these eyes for me every day of her life. Thank you, Vicky, for praying. But do to others as you'd have them do for you. How would you want to be treated if you were in darkness? How would you want them to treat you if you were in addiction? How would you want to be treated if you were whatever you were struggling with? Think about what it is or what you are struggling with now. But nobody likes someone, right? So we need to get creative with new ways to love people. And he says this, he goes, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And I think some Christians have got to sinner level righteousness. And that's hard to hear, but this is what Jesus said. And he goes, even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is to you? Even sinners do the same. So far I'm doing as good as a sinner. That's hard to hear, right? It's hard to hear for me. If you lend to those in hope of you to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive that much again. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great in heaven. And I want to suggest this. We don't have to wait for heaven. Our reward will come in the heavenly realm, and we can store up treasures in heaven so that we can deposit them into the earth today. It isn't like, oh, I'm storing up all these treasures one day. No, we are building up treasures in heaven because we need to have a rich treasure of heaven to release it into the earth. Does that make sense? And this is like the vision that I have for this church. This is a vision that I'm going after. But if the more I can behold the beauty of God, how much he loves me, how much he accepts me, how much he's forgiven me, the more I can be filled with the love of God. Think about it. God is love. We are created in his image and likeness. So we are created by love, to be loved, to export love, and it's about love. And so if I have treasures in heaven that's come from the God of love, it isn't a burden. Oh, God, I got to serve at the soup kitchen. Or, oh, God, I got to smile at somebody. Don't they realize I've had a tough day? And isn't that crazy? Because it's like that. You're like, God, I'm going to do this. And you have all these things happen. All chaos goes, and then there's an opportunity. And we're like, I ain't got time for that. And God's like, no, I want to make sure that your priorities are set. And so if you'll actually break out of that comfort zone and do it, you may just find a miracle. I think there's miracles all around us, but sometimes our eyes are closed to the opportunities in front of us. So that's all I have for today. But I want you guys to realize in my own heart, my desire is that to realize how much you are loved. And love is like one of those words, like you've heard it so many times, it almost doesn't mean anything anymore. But God loves you. He's created you to be holy and to be blameless. That's not what you do for God. That's what he does in and through you. We cast our broken crowns because he will restore his crown because he suffered death. He conquered death. He can break depression. He can break self-centeredness. He can break insecurity. He can break I'm not good enough. He can break all these things that are plaguing the human race. And we're not here to give people our morality codes and our holiness codes. We're here to give them the beauty of Jesus and the love of Jesus and the acceptance of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus. And if we allow God, if we allow ourselves to open up and let that love fill our hearts, it'll be an overflow. My cup overflows, right? And that's what we want to live out. We don't want to live out our own strength. We want to live out of the overflow of Jesus. So anybody feel they need that? Let's just pray. Let's open our hearts to God. It's not about what you could do for God. It's about what God has done for us. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just look into each heart. And where there is darkness, I pray you would shine light. Where there is fear, I pray you would release love, because perfect love casts out fear. Where there is judgment, I pray you would impart forgiveness and kindness and goodness and mercy. Fill us afresh, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. And teach us how to wait upon the Lord. For those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. This isn't willpower. This isn't me rolling up my sleeve. This is being dead and waiting for the resurrection life of Jesus to come. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And I pray for opportunities. Anybody want opportunities to meet new people? Tom said something yesterday that was just thought-provoking and awesome. I'm going to repeat it. He says, we're going to meet a lot of people, a lot of new people. I think there's a season of evangelism for you guys. There's a season of harvest for you guys. What I heard in the prayer meeting is, do not say 3 more months, but look on the fields now. They are ripe unto harvest. There's opportunities there that are waiting for you guys to see. And he says, either we will make them want to be like us. Or, no, he said, he goes, we will, how did you say that, Tom?
It was really good.
Okay. He said something along the line that we will love them where they're at and accept them where they're at, or we'll demand that they become like us. And we can't do that, because love by its nature is dynamic. It's living, it's growing. And when you love the unlovable, something new is going to happen to you as much as it is to them. You see what I'm saying? And so there's as much as a conversion of the church as there is to the unsaved when we allow love to come in and change us both. Amen. So that's what I believe for you guys. That's what I know is going to happen. And I'm saying, go for it. The blessing of the Lord's upon you guys. Amen. All right. Thank you.
If you can I have, if you're able, go ahead and stand up. If you're not able, just stay seated. Can I have the prayer team come on up? And Jeff and Vicki and Michael were with us this weekend. We had the privilege of spending quite a bit of time with them this weekend. And for me, it's almost like a culmination of things that have been on range of my heart. We just feel like it's a time for us to enjoy this to the full, take advantage of this to the full. But I feel like it is time for us to be brave, to be confident, to be bold, and to invite people into our lives and into our homes that we would never do 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago. It's just, you could be like me. Does anybody feel like they're kind of an introvert and quiet? Some of you put your hand down, you just lied. I know some of you. You're not quiet, you're not an introvert. But there's some of us that are just, it's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk to that person. I'll just pray for him from over here. I'll just pray for him. And there's nothing like an invitation, would you please come to our home? We'd like to have a meal with you. And they're messy, and they swear at work, and they have issues, and they have attitudes. And I just find, you know, for me, you okay, Mark?
I'm doing great.
I didn't know if you want to come up here. You know, okay. And I just remember I was 18 years old, and every other word out of my mouth was a word I'm not going to say now. I was such a mess. I was insecure. I was swearing all the time. I was doing drugs. I was drinking. I was a mess. And somebody I know. But I'm not going to use names, Sandy. And somebody invited me into their house. Into their house. And it was a Christian and it was a believer. And I was just filthy and foul. And this person invited me over to the house. And I just started asking questions of this person. Like, why would you have me over to your house? And I just, the more this person talked, answering my questions, the more I wanted what they had. And I wouldn't have done it on the street. I knew this person from work. I would have never asked these questions at work. But in their house, I felt like I was safe. I could ask these questions that I would never ask because of embarrassment and insecurity. And I just feel like, as Jeff was saying, and I did say yesterday myself, it's a time of harvest. And it's taking the blessing that I have, the love that I've been given, the forgiveness that I've been shown, and give it away. I find it so ineffective for the most part, sending texts and emails and even phone calls. It's love is expressed through touch, through face, through intonation, through closeness. Yes, Jeff is going to help me.
I love quotations, and one of my favorite saints is Saint Francis of Assisi. And what he used to tell his disciples is, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. And the Great Commission is to make disciples, teaching men to observe everything that I have commanded you. So when you do this, you can tell them about Jesus, but if they're not open for it, change the subject. The goal is not to get them saved. The goal is to let the love of God permeate them without an agenda. There are people I've been ministering to for 4 or 5 years who are just starting to open their heart to God. And if I would have been like, well, you know, I tried for a year now, I'm moving on. No, I asked God for a true love for these people. Without them, if they never got saved, I would still love these people. Yes. And that's the goal, not to preach the gospel to get them saved, because then we feel like the used car salesman. Yes. And they know that they're a project. Just love on them. Without an agenda. And Peter says, be ready for everyone who asks you. Like you said, you ask questions of the hope that's within you. And do it with gentleness and do it with respect. Yes. So that's a really big key. Otherwise, it'll turn sour quick, because they'll say, hey, you're just wanting me to fill a seat. You're just wanting me to get a notch on your belt. Love them without an agenda. Let the love of God love on them.
Yes. And it's a weird concept. What if you had somebody over to your house and you decided ahead of time, I'm not going to preach the gospel. I'm just going to love them. I'm just going to be kind. I'm going to find out what kind of food they want, and I'm going to fix the food they want. I'm just going to bless them. Takes the pressure off of me, takes the pressure off of them, and they might actually feel I'm loving on them rather than trying to recruit them. It's a change of mentality, a change of understanding, and I guarantee you, the person to your right and left, you are gold waiting to be spent into the world. And that all they need is an invitation into our life. They will see, and they'll see normal, they'll see health, they'll see, why do you speak to your wife like that? In a good way. You know, why does there seem to be peace in your home? Everybody's job is up in jeopardy, but you seem to be in peace. They will ask you questions. Probably not at work, but in your house, in your relationship, taking them out to dinner. It's just relationship. So, Father, I thank you for Jeff and Vicky coming. I thank you for Michael being with us. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, it is harvest time. But it's harvest time to love people, to bring people into our worlds, to simply love them. Whether they get saved this week, next year, 5 years from now, Lord, I just want to bring people into our world to love them, to show them that Jesus is good, Jesus is kind, Jesus is merciful. The timing is up to you, Lord. I just simply want to be bold enough now to step out and invite people into my world, invite people into my house, people that don't sound like me, they don't act like me, they use foul language, they don't believe what I believe. Lord, let me love them like Owen loved me and invited me over to his house. Father, may I be brave and courageous in the days, weeks, and months to come to invite people into my world just to love them. I thank you for what the plans and intentions that you have for us as individuals and as a family. Lord, we want your life, your love, your breath breathed on the people all around us at work, at school, in our neighborhoods. Lord, I'm going to be brave and I'm going to step into the courage of heaven to open my life to show people I'm real, I'm kind, and I have a wonderful home. Please come in, and we just want to love on you tonight. Not preach, just love on you. Bless this family, Father, that we would smell, look, and sound like Jesus. So if you have a prayer need, you want somebody to stand with you, you're struggling with fear, worry, doubt, depression, just come on up. We'd love to pray with you. That's our heart as you encounter Jesus this morning. So be blessed, be encouraged, have an amazing day. Again.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.